Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Broadway San Jose presents three more hit shows this season with family favorite Annie, Lincoln Center's My Fair Lady, and direct from New York, Pretty Woman. Tickets are now on sale for $99 when you purchase a Black Friday package. Visit BroadwaySanJose.com or call 866-395-2929 to purchase this limited time offer. That's BroadwaySanJose.com or call 866-395-2929. Offer ends Cyber Monday, November 28th.
You're listening to Season 1, Episode 50, Farewell Jason Hayward and Wilson Contreras. And right now, the professor, Kyle Hendricks, is the last of the Cubs' 2016 active players on the roster. Our interview this week is with Brian Smith of Bleacher Nation on the Cubs' 40-man roster construction.
Joining me now on the Fly the W podcast, we have Brian Smith. You can find him on Twitter at Cub Prospects, and he writes for the Bleacher Nation. How are you doing tonight, Brian?
I'm good, Crawley. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem, man. I'm hoping you're getting some sleep because I know this is a chaotic time for you right now. We talked about it a little bit on our last podcast, this calendar kind of coming up this end of November gets a little dicey. So we're recording this on Thursday, November 9th. So tomorrow's the deadline for teams to make qualifying offers to their free agents. And obviously Wilson's the big one. But there's a couple other things that are kind of going on here. I think it's important for people to understand that obviously you have a 26-man roster, right, throughout the season.
Yep.
And then you also have a 40-man roster. Explain to listeners here what the 40-man roster is for.
Yeah, so the 40-man roster obviously encompasses, you know, your entire 26-man roster, but it also provides you 14 extra spots that you can use for call-ups, for guys in the minors that are providing you depth that are necessary. And not everybody in the minor leagues needs to be on your 40-man roster, but if you're going to call a guy up to the majors, he has to be on your 40-man roster. So, you know, it's there to be your depth, really, but it's also creates its own sort of roster logjam above the 26-man roster because you don't want to have guys on there that you're not going to be using in the major leagues necessarily, except if you're protecting them from the Rule 5 draft, which I know is something that we're going to talk about in a few minutes here.
It gets crazy. So tomorrow, the 10th, is when teams also are going to take a bunch of players off the 60-man roster. Who does that look like for the Cubs? I know that Kyle Hendricks would be another, Jason Hayward, whole bunch of people coming off. Any other names I'm forgetting here?
Yeah, I mean, Alec Mills is on there. Ethan Roberts is on there. Brad Wick's on there. Rafael Ortega. So all those guys are going to come back onto the 40-man roster, which is actually going to then push the Cubs above 40 people on their 40-man roster, which you're not allowed to do. So instantly the Cubs will have to release a couple players to get down to 40 names before they even start adding people for the winter. So it's definitely just this weird sort of week ahead where Jed and Carter have to constantly be sort of subtracting a couple guys to add a couple guys to subtract a couple guys to add a couple guys. It's a bizarre time of year.
Right. And so, you know, when I take a look at it, obviously Kyle Hendricks is not going anywhere, but, right, you know, a couple guys, Jason Hayward, we already know is out.
Gone. Yeah.
So, you know, that leaves, you know, a couple guys, you know, Alec Mills is, boy, you know, you kind of just take a look at the list. Like you said, we covered Week and we covered Hayward's gone, and Ortega is another one that, you know, I really don't see him maybe sticking around.
Right.
And so then on Friday, November 18th, you also have the non-tender deadline. So teams have to decide who they're going to keep between, I'm not even going to go into the 3 and 6 year, you know, service time stuff, but that's a list that includes Hap, Stephen Brault, Franmil Reyes, Rowan Wick, Alec Mills, Brad Week, Nico Horner, Cody Hewer, Nick Madrigal, and Rafael Ortega.
I'll actually, let me jump in real quick, because what I'll say about that day is it's basically a day that if you don't have a guaranteed contract that includes years in the future, no matter whether you're arbitration eligible or before that, even, you know, a guy like Justin Steele or someone like that that's younger, the Cubs decide on that day whether they want to offer you a 2023 contract or not. So it's everybody that doesn't have a contract that we already know about.
Right. And so these guys right now, when you talked about that list, I mean, obviously Happ is safe. You know, you could say Cody Hewer is safe. Madrigal would be safe, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. He's sort of like probably at that like last safety point of being fine.
Franmil Reyes, I don't know. Yeah. He's a little bit expensive and it started out good. And other than that, I Will Always Love You, I think, will be the highlight. What are you thinking on that?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with arbitration for Franmil's point of view is that you have to sort of keep going up in money. And he made enough money last year that if you're going to be in a similar ballpark with his salary, I don't know if the Cubs are going to feel good enough about how to project what he does in 2023 to want to pay him, you know, $6 to $10 million.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one there. And then, you know, and then we start getting around the deadline for placing Rule 5 eligible prospects on the 40-man roster.
Yeah.
Is November 15th. So let's talk about that terminology right there. The deadline for placing Rule 5 eligible prospects. So who would be considered a Rule 5 eligible prospect?
Yeah. So I mean, we're going to get real into the weeds here. So, you know, stick with me. But, you know, if you're in the minor leagues for a certain number of years, it's either 3 or 4 years, you become eligible for what's called the Rule 5 draft. And the reason the Rule 5 draft exists is that they don't want teams to sort of stash guys in the minor leagues and not give them a chance to get to the major leagues over time. So they allow other teams to grab guys from other organizations, and then they have to keep them on the major league roster for one whole year if they're going to do it. And that's what the Rule 5 draft is. What you can do when your prospects become eligible for the Rule 5 draft, if you don't want them to be able to be selected, you add them onto your 40-man roster. And now they cannot be selected any longer in that Rule 5. It protects them from eligibility in that draft. So the Cubs, I think, have, you know, probably something like 50 players that are eligible for the Rule 5 draft. But of course, you know, a large number of those aren't getting any consideration from Jed and Carter at all. There's probably about 15 guys that, you know, I would imagine they had a meeting about in the last week. And, you know, what do we think about each of these cases? And in the end, we're probably looking at somewhere between 3 and, you know, on the high side, 5 or 6 guys that will get at him.
So as we kind of take a look here, right, and for the Cubs, it's kind of like a good problem to have is that it looks like the minor league system through trades, through draft, international free agents, that farm system for the Cubs is really rising in the rankings. And it's a good problem to have, you know, a lot of good prospects, but at the same time, for other teams that don't have as good a farm system, this is kind of really an opportunity to kind of maybe poach somebody, because the Cubs clearly cannot protect everybody. When I look at that, you know, the top 30 prospect list, you keep seeing newer and newer names, and some guys kind of start falling back, and those are the kind of guys that may get a shot somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, even a guy that I think the Cubs are going to put on their 40-man roster in a couple of days is Kevin Alcantara, who the Cubs acquired for Anthony Rizzo from the Yankees, had a good year this year with Myrtle Beach. And the reason the Cubs are going to put him on the 40-man roster is so that he doesn't get drafted in that Rule 5 draft. They know that he's not going to help them in Chicago in 2023, but he is such a good talent that I think another team, if he was eligible in the Rule 5, a team that knew they were going to stink next year, say the Washington Nationals, they would draft him and just stash him as the 26th guy on their roster for all of 2023, because they'd be so desperate to add that guy into their talent pool for 2024 and beyond. So the Cubs are going to look at that. They're going to realize that, hey, we want Kevin in our organization, and they're going to put him on the 40-man roster.
And so, as you kind of like you were saying, though, this is kind of the risk here, is that with the Rule 5, they have to stay on your major league roster.
Yeah.
You don't have the option of demoting them to the minors or anything like that. That's it. They have to be on that roster the entire year. And what happens if they decide, if a team, let's say, takes Kevin Alcantara, let's use your example of Kevin Alcantara. Yeah. Let's say someone takes Kevin Alcantara and then all of a sudden it's just not really working out. Then what happens to Kevin?
Sure. So when that team drafted Kevin, you know, in our hypothetical situation here, they would have given the Cubs $100,000 in exchange for that right to draft him. If at some point they decided, hey, we don't want him on our major league roster anymore, it's not working out, what would happen is they would offer him back to the Cubs. And if the Cubs wanted him, and there would then be no roster limitations, they could take him back and put him in the minor leagues. The Cubs would just have to pay $50,000 of the $100,000 back to that team. So, you know, a lot of cases I think the Cubs will look at with some of the players that are eligible and they'll say, hey, I don't think this guy could last in the majors for an entire year. I bet even if he does get drafted, the team will end up offering him back to us and we'll get him anyway. So that's why some of the cases, I mean, the Cubs have, I think, eight guys, Crawley, that are eligible for this Rule 5 draft that have hit 97 or higher on, you know, with their fastball on the radar gun this year. I think there's five guys that hit 100 this year. So it's a weird time in the Cubs farm system where, like, we could see a situation in a month here where the Rule 5 draft happens and the Cubs lose, you know, two players in the Rule 5 that we read about as this guy touched 101 miles per hour this year. We're all going to be like, what the hell were the Cubs thinking, you know, letting them go? But, you know, there's some rationale there, and that'll be a calculated gamble. Hey, we don't think they're quite ready to last for 6 months in the major leagues.
And that's where it starts to get tricky. And that's where, you know, you said that you saw Kevin Alcantara making the 40-man roster. Who are the other players that you kind of see, as far as in your opinion, have a really good shot at making that 40-man roster?
Sure. I mean, I think the headline name is going to be Brennan Davis. It's Brennan's time. I think the Cubs thought that Brennan would get called up to the majors this year if he didn't have the injuries that he suffered in the 2022 season. So, you know, I think even 8 months ago, you know, probably even 2 years ago, the Cubs knew that they were already going to have Brennan on the 40-man roster going into this offseason. So that'll be mostly a procedural move. I think in addition to that, Ben Brown, who the Cubs acquired for David Robertson at the trade deadline, I think he's a lock to be added. I think when the Cubs traded for him, they knew that it would come with adding him onto the 40-man roster on that date. So he's a lock. And I think the one other one that I think is going to get on is Ryan Jensen, who was the Cubs' first-round pick in 2019, a guy that they've worked really hard with to add pitches, to change his mechanics. And, you know, in the second half of the year, he touched 100 miles per hour. He's showing, you know, a cutter in the 90s, a slider that was up to 90. He's got a lot of really good stuff happening. Hasn't quite, like, hit the next threshold as a prospect to sort of be in those top 100 conversations, but he's too valuable of an arm for the Cubs to risk losing. So I think those are the four to me that are pretty close to locks to be added.
Okay, so those are your locks. And so you said, and so now you take a look at your, you said Jensen, you said Brennan, you said Ben Brown.
Yeah, and Kevin Alcantara being
there. Kevin Alcantara we talked about, yeah. And so now what you kind of take a look at is who are the guys that you say might be bubble players that could potentially make that 40-man roster?
Yeah, so, I mean, then we're getting down to a list of, you know, I know that you've talked to Cole Franklin before. Cole Franklin's eligible for the Rule 5 this year, a guy that was 99 miles per hour multiple times this year. I think, if I'm remembering right, touched 100 early on as well. If we're sticking with the 100 mile per hour guys, Cam Sanders hit 100 in September with Iowa as a reliever, the son of Scott Sanders, who was a reliever for the Cubs in the 90s. He's going to be a really, if he doesn't get added, I think teams are really going to look at him hard for the Rule 5 draft. And then Danny Correa is another one, a guy who has hit 101 miles per hour in the past that has one of the quickest arms I've ever seen for a reliever. It just, his arm is like lightning fast. I think those guys are all candidates too. And then another one I'll just throw at you is Chase Strumpf, who was the second round pick after Ryan Jensen in that 2019 draft, is a guy that Baseball America voted the best defensive second baseman in AA this year, and also hit, I think, 23 home runs in AA. So a guy that has, you know, good power and pretty solid defense. I think that'll be a guy that teams look at really closely as well.
Now, the one name that I kind of keep hearing a little bit now and then about when it comes to Rule 5 is Luis Devers.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's kind of take a look here right now. Is that the Rule 5 draft, the 40-man roster is set, You know, when we talk about protecting those eligible guys on November 15th, who scares you that may not make it that you could see other teams picking up?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the Devers case, for instance. Devers was the Cubs minor league pitcher of the year this season, a guy that, you know, he kept his ERA south of 2 for most of the year. I don't think he allowed even 2 runs in a start, you know, at the final 2 months of the year after he'd gotten promoted to high A. He was just absolutely sensational. And I think the Cubs fans would look at their track record with developing pitchers and they would say, how could you let a pitcher, you know, that won our pitcher of the year in this year that our farm system broke out, how could you let him go? And that's going to be a really tough one for the Cubs because they're going to look at Devers and they're going to say, you know, this is a guy that's low 90s with velocity mostly. He's got a really good changeup, but his breaking ball is still kind of fringy. He's really succeeding in a way kind of like Johnny Cueto does, where he just outthinks hitters and, he just messes around with his timing and his arm angles. And he's so fun to watch out there, but he hasn't pitched above A ball yet. So I think the Cubs might look at that and they might roll the dice and say, you know, I don't think anyone else is going to take the risk that they can keep him on the roster for the entire year because, you know, his top end stuff isn't quite major league quality yet. And my guess is they're going to leave him exposed for the Rule 5, which is just crazy given the year he had.
Yeah, we got to see him in South Bend, and he was a big part of that championship run at the end. And so just it's just absolutely hard to fathom that, you know, like you said, you know, with a lot of these guys, you know, when you talk about that transition, it's just a totally different world up in the major leagues compared to the minor leagues, you know, as far as the amount of innings thrown and the stuff that you have to have. I mean, obviously you can use them as a reliever and stuff like that, but it's I mean, when you think about not being above A, it would be really hard to see the team taking a gamble and rolling the dice on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think what's really changed in baseball over the last 10 years is that the stuff that you have has become almost more important when you're evaluating minor league players than the results are. And so a guy, you know, almost no one in the minor leagues had better results than Luis Devers this year. But the Cubs are going to look at 5 or 8 other pitchers and say, hey, this prospect actually has better raw stuff. I think I'm more worried about a team taking him in the Rule 5 than Devers.
All right, Luis Devers, now you got me sweating. Now we get to the portion of the show, Brian, where I start sweating a little bit. Who else you got that other teams may find quite attractive or appealing?
Oh, okay. I mean, a bunch of those relievers I mentioned early on, like I think Cam Sanders is going to be left open for the Rule 5, and I would tell you I think he is going to get drafted, which is going to be too bad because I think, you know, there were probably opportunities to give him a shot down the stretch and they didn't end up taking him. And I kind of understand why they did that. But that's the one that jumps out to me as the most likely to be added. Another guy that I would point out that's kind of like Devers, a very similar situation, is Darius Hill, who led the Cubs farm system in batting average this year. He played in AA and AAA. He's one of those guys that just he wakes out of bed hitting 300. His bat to ball skills are as good as anybody in the Cubs system. Just a pure hitter, you know, one of those guys that just he's not going to wear batting gloves. He's just going to, you know, you can throw your best stuff at him and he's going to foul 8 balls off and then he's going to hit a, you know, a little squib into the opposite field and get a single. And but also showed a little bit of extra pop this year. Teams used to say that he was just a left fielder. I thought he looked pretty good in center field. So he's a guy that I could see also being left exposed because he doesn't have that sort of like sexy power, you know, big speed profile. But he's a guy that just gets it done. And so if another team looks and says, hey, that's we could do a lot worse with spending, you know, we could spend $3 to $5 million on a fourth outfielder and do worse than we're going to do with Darius Hill at the minimum. And then we have him for 6 more years after that. I could see someone taking him.
I remember I was talking to Mick Gillespie, the voice of the Tennessee Smokies. And, you know, I was kind of like, oh, tell me about Mads Mervis. Tell me about, you know, Alexander Canario, you know, just trying to get all these guys. And he's like, let me tell you about Darius Hill.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you talk about some of those guys that see, you know, see these young guys on a day to day, sometimes there's intangibles that, you know, don't pop out on the stat sheet that aren't like, you know, when you talk about the 101 or something or hitting 35 home runs right in the minor leagues that just automatically pop out. And you have a guy like you have a guy right there like Darius Hill who could, like you said, be really attractive to other teams.
Yeah, now, he just like somebody like Mick who watches, you know, every Tennessee game because that's his job. Like, you have such an appreciation for guys that bring that sort of day-to-day consistency that Darius has. And, you know, I think that shouldn't be undervalued. That is something that is real and does matter.
Yeah, and now comes the question, too, though, is that for the Cubs, obviously you get worried that someone's going to take somebody, but you have the opportunity to kind of look around as well and take somebody in the Rule 5 draft. Have you dug into that at all? Has it hurt anything? Is maybe anyone that the Cubs would kind of be interested or farm systems that you think that they might want to pick from?
You know, as far as specific names, I haven't yet. I think, you know, we'll see next week who teams protect and who they don't, and then start to get a list of that sort of in mind. But I think conceptually it'll be interesting. The Cubs do like to take guys in the Rule 5. They did it even during that successful window. I think you might remember them. I think they drafted Caleb Smith like in 2016. And they brought him into spring training and gave a look at him. And ultimately, of course, you know, they weren't going to use a 25 man roster spot on him back then and let him go. But the Cubs do like to give somebody a chance. So I think if I looked at the Cubs roster, I would guess that if they were going to do it, they would do it with a reliever. You know, I think they really like how they identify pitchers in other organizations. I think they like how they can bring a pitcher into the organization and make him better. So if I was going to guess at who the Cubs took, if they do take somebody, I would definitely be looking at, okay, who are the guys that Baseball America thinks are the best relievers available in the Rule 5, and pick one of those, and you're going to have as good of a chance as of being right as I will on that day.
Well, you know, it's going to be tricky, and like I said, it'll be fun to watch, but, you know, for me, Brian, it's a lot more enjoyable having, you know, this great minor league team and having all this talent, yeah. Like you said, you know, three of four of the teams making it into the minor league postseason than not having anything out there. The last, you know, it's been remarkable, the turnaround in the farm system. What would you say it's probably rated about now? 5-4?
Yeah, probably in the 5-10 range. I think, you know, with Brennan's injuries, you know, they're not going to have like multiple top 50 prospects probably. So that's going to push them down a little bit. But, you know, I think somewhere in that sort of 7-10 range is probably where they'll settle in.
It's like I said, it makes it fun. And I know it makes your job a lot more fun. Yeah. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can find your work at and where your social media handles would be?
Sure. So I write a couple times a week at Bleacher Nation. I think hopefully most of you are familiar with Brett's amazing site there. On Twitter, I am at CubCubProspects. And then let me call out real quick. I'm going to be a regular contributor on a new podcast that my buddy Greg Huss is starting. It's going to be called Cubs on Deck, and our first episode is going to be this week. So I hope listeners of this great pod will give us a chance over there.
Absolutely. We've had you on, we've had Greg on, and I think you're going to have some other contributors that are going to be great, and it's going to be a great podcast to listen to. So I'm wishing you guys nothing but the best, and look forward, Brian, to having you back on and seeing you at CubsCon maybe?
Yeah, CubsCon for sure, and then down in Arizona, I'm sure we'll run into each other.
All right, Brian. Hey, thanks for taking some time tonight, and best of luck with everything.
All right, good to see you.
Take care.